tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 29th of May, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sam Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. We've got halfway through the week again, which means we have a special guest with us today on the Daily Nationalist, and that is the revisionist historian, Carolyn Yeager. Carolyn, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, Sven.
That's good to hear. We've had some really good results this week in the EU elections. I briefly covered them on Monday, and I was really hoping that you could delve into them a little bit more deeply in Germany and Austria. I know the areas that you are most interested in, because I'm not quite sure exactly where things stand there, whether we did well, whether we didn't, whether it was just average, and what it's going to mean for Germany and Austria. So I'm not sure which one of them you want to pick first, but if you could get into that, that would be great, I think.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. That's, when I say German, it's going to be both Germany and Austria, because the Austrians are German too. So the German results are always a little disappointing from what you hope it will be. That's that conservative Germans, it's hard to move them and get them to do anything that they're being told, oh, this is too radical and so on. So, in spite of, they always have high hopes. And I would say in both countries, our populist parties were, didn't come up to what was hoped or predicted ahead of time. Sometimes I wonder if the media plays that up, saying, oh, they're going to, because, the media was really playing up ahead of this election how strong the populists were in the polls and how, they might be really win a lot of votes. Well, in some states they did, in some countries, as you talked about on Monday, Italy and in France was not stunning, but it was, still pretty good. And then in Britain, but in Germany, they kind of underperformed. And there was, of course, that scandal that I talked about last week, and we talked about that in depth. And so I didn't think that was going to affect it too much. And it didn't. I don't think that was the reason for a lot of loss. But while the parties, the Alternative for Deutschland in Germany and the Freedom Party of Austria did all right. They didn't do as good as was predicted, and they didn't, they didn't move forward. But there are some good things happening within that anyway. Some good, as it said, as the more you look at it, you find some positive aspects, or at least something that shows a particular direction. For example, we'll start with the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland. As I mentioned last week, this Jörg Meuthen, I found out now, I finally heard his name actually spoken. I didn't ever notice it or never heard it spoken before. I was saying Meuthen. It's very hard with some of these German names. His is particularly weird, and it's pronounced Meuthen. So maybe there's a little bit of a, touch there that I'm missing out on. But so Jörg Meuthen is their European Parliament leader, And he said they won 11% of the vote, the AfD. They won 11% of the vote. They were wanting 15 to 20%, and they didn't get that. So they're trying to, you know, make it look as good as they can. But the ones who really came ahead in Germany were the Greens. And now the good thing is that the CDU and the SDP, the traditional big parties in Germany, Merkel's party, CDU, and the Social Democrats, the Reds, did poorly, and they keep doing more and more poorly. Every election, they go down a little bit more. So they're really facing a crisis, those parties. And that's good for a party like the AfD. It's, you know, I guess you'd call it, it's mainly an anti-immigrant party right now. It's not really an anti-EU, but it's they want EU reform. They want change in EU, more freedom for the nations. They are now saying that the Greens are their primary opponent. Both Meuthen said that, and then Alexander Gauland, who's the lead parliamentary leader, and he's the other. Those two men are the top chairman, co-chairman, or something of the AfD. So he's also made a big point of talking about the Greens, and I want to go to where he said some statements that Alexander Gauland made after the election were that the SPD, which is the Social Democrats, is finished as a mainstream party in Germany. They are really in bad shape right now, and they know it, and they don't know quite what to do or where to go. And they're in the coalition government with the CDU right now in Germany. And they didn't want to be in the coalition government, but they were kind of forced to by saying in order that for the good of Germany, because the CDU needed a partner, and the other partner they had failed, and the government had dissolved, you know, that was a couple of years ago. And so they had to step up and do their patriotic duty. So they joined the government again, but they feel like it's been bad for their party. Because they're having to, they keep losing ground because they're associated with the moderate or the center, supposedly center-right, Christian Democrats. So, but they're still going down. And Gauland says, well, we don't need to even pay attention to them anymore. They're done. And he says that the CDU, under their new leader, you know, that Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, whatever, who seems to be doing the best possible to me. She's for that party. She's, but it's not working. So they go down a little bit more again. They still have the majority in, not a majority, but they have the plurality. They have the most votes. They're the biggest party in Germany, but they keep shrinking. So Gauland said the Greens are our main opponent for the AfD. They want to do away with coal, the coal industry, with the combustion engine, which is our car industry, which is the big mainstay. And those two are pretty big in German economic life. And, you know, the Greens are so radical. They make climate change their number one issue. And they therefore want to. It's like that in the United States. That AOC, what is her name anyway?
Ocasio-Cortez,
who came up with her Green New Deal. You know, so radical, and they want to do away. You know, go backwards in order because they think they're going to save the planet that way. And that so Gauland, that's where they're going to be focused. Against the Greens. I think the alternative for Deutschland is not so much going to be focusing on political aspects which can make Germans nervous, as they are the looks like the economic aspects, that they're going to take away the economic success of that Germany has had, and the high standard of living and so on, and there's no good reason to do that, and so that's where they stand. But they have, the thing is with them is that they won in the East. They did real well in Eastern Germany, part of Eastern Germany, most of it. In fact, they keep doing better in Eastern Germany, and not well enough in Western Germany, which has a much larger population, of course. But they actually won the most votes of all in Saxony, and also in Brandenburg.
If Germany was still split, then do you think between West Germany and East Germany, would the AfD, would they be the majority? Would they be the ruling party in East Germany?
They're saying. They're not quite yet, but that's what the discussion is now, and what the focus is. That and the CDU is concerned about that. Because losing a lot, they're losing so much in East Germany, and so here we've got this split again. You know, where Germans are instead of uniting, 30 years after the reunification of Germany, they are seeming to move more split, or at least it's becoming evident in elections, and more concerning for the mainstream parties. That they're losing votes so much in the East, and the East is coming more under the control of the AfD. Yeah, in fact, they look for signs like they say that there's possibility that in the fall elections, the national elections in the fall for states, that one of the states in the East will elect a state premier, you know, the head of the state, would be from the AfD party, which would be really shocking to everyone. And that would probably be Saxony, because Saxony is the most pro AfD in Germany. And then a couple others are also. And in Thuringia, they came close to winning, but not getting the most votes, but not exactly, just a little bit short of that. So that's where they're growing. But, you know, they need to grow everywhere, and it's hard. And the Greens are just people who turn away from the mainstream parties, the old parties, they say, you know, that they call themselves people's parties. My gosh, the SPD, the Social Democrats, have been around since how long? I mean, way before the National Socialist period. I mean, in the, you know, way back into World War One and previous, they've been around. They're the oldest party going now in Germany, but they're the ones who are hurting the most, and people are calling for their demise at this point. But I don't know. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch.
We're sort of hoping that there was, you know, with Merkel stepping down and because of what she'd done to Germany, I know there was high hopes that, you know, that her party would eventually just get wiped out. But they've still got the majority, you say, but they're just losing a bit every year. So do you think it's really worth the AfD then, just concentrating on the Greens and not worrying about Merkel's party? Do you think that's a good strategy for them to have?
Well, I don't know that they would actually, you know, ignore the other parties. They wouldn't. But Gowland just said that their main opponent now is the Greens, because the Greens are really moving up. They've been so strong in the last couple of elections, jumped by large numbers, more than anybody else, and they could become the majority party very easily. So. And also their policies are so extreme and opposed to what the AfD, which is really, they want Germany to succeed as Germany. Of course, they're nationalists in that sense, but they're not extreme nationalists. So they want Germany, though, to continue to be a power in Europe and an influence, and then to do what's good for Germans, the German people, not as Europeans. The whole thing is that, you know, these pro-Europeans want to do away with national identity. They do. They want to do away with Germans. A German is anybody who lives in Germany, and they want more and more non-Germans to come to Germany. So, you know, and the AfD is against that, and that's good, because we certainly need parties that will stand against that. And besides the more super nationalist parties like the NDP, that is just can't get a grip on votes anymore, you know, and that's why everybody has to go to the, we have to go to the Alternative for Deutschland. I like the NDP, but they just don't get any votes, and they're under the gun by from the constitutional police and all that. So they just are, you know, these laws in Germany and Austria about the National Socialist period and outlawing everything about it just make it so hard for these parties, because half the time they're being investigated for, you know, treason or something, for going against the laws of the Constitution.
I think the AfD narrowly missed out on that happening to themselves, didn't they? A while back, they were going to be investigated by the Constitution Police, the Special Police, and eventually they managed to win in court, and they said, well, no, okay, we won't be investigating you. But that's something we don't have in these other countries, is a special police force set up to investigate nationalist parties to check that they don't get too close to National Socialism. And what they mean by right. National Socialism is just ethno-nationalism, I think. So it, you know, we're lucky that we've got the AfD there, even though they are civic nationalists. You know, at least Germany's got them. We have to support them. I agree.
Yeah, you don't get anywhere with anything else that's more extreme. So they're doing a wonderful job. Of course, I cringe sometimes when I hear certain statements that they make. I mean, they'll come out every so often. There's a video on their website now that is really, they do such a great job with these in Europe with these political party videos. And it's really, really nice, except in one part they say, they're kind of like showing the history of something, and you know, they show the National Socialist period, and what do they call it, something you know, a terrible period in our history, and you know, which is like, oh no.
Such
why
a
do
shame.
You have to say that, just ignore it. But you know, they feel they need to, because they're always being accused. Even the AfD is being accused all the time of being too tied to having all these neo-Nazis hiding in their party.
Well, how's Austria doing then with the Freedom Party? Because, I mean, I thought maybe they would have been affected badly by this scandal, but it seems they only dropped 2 points, I think, from last year in the EU elections. So what's been happening over there?
Are you talking about the national elections?
Oh,
last
no, the
year,
EU,
they got
EU elections. The EU elections. Because I think, wasn't it?
Well, EU election 5 years ago.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant.
5 years ago, they did better, actually, than they did this time by a little bit. So instead of getting better, they went down from 5 years ago in the European Parliament election. And but I didn't think that that this video thing would affect things too much, because it had just happened and people are already set. You know, people who vote for the Freedom Party in Austria, they're pretty much like their base, you know, like the base of Trump in the United States. They're not going to be moved by most of anything that comes up in the media. They're just not. And it has to be, it can affect people who are on the fringe and aren't sure who to vote for, and, you know, go this way or that way. But it's not going to affect the base. And a lot of them are pretty much part of the base. They don't get much of anything else. So So, they didn't go down a lot, but they were expected to get like 25% or something. So only getting 17% is not good. And the more I look at it, the more depressing it gets to me. Again, there's some things possible, but you know, there they were in the government. Strache was vice chancellor. Kickl was interior minister, making lots of moves and changes in the right direction. And they had other ministers there. And now, suddenly, I watched everything that took place in Parliament yesterday. Yesterday, they had that vote of no confidence against Chancellor Kurz, and it passed. And he's out, and there's have the whole upside down situation. Today, I didn't see anything yet, but the president of Austria is supposed to be appointing a new interim chancellor, and until they have the elections in the new election in September. So we'll go into all that. But what I was saying was that now the Freedom Party, which is really the only hope for Austria's in politics, there's no one else, there's nothing else that we could, you know, support. They're back just where they were, back. And they don't have any hope of getting in the government now, because Kurz is, I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I'll just, it's what's coming to my mind. So, you know, we talked about how he would do. Well, I think he's very popular. He seems like a well-behaved, safe, but progressive person. He somehow got control of this party, the Austrian People's Party, OPP, well, OVP, actually. He is pushing it, because I guess the people who had been running it were just kind of not very strong or something, you know, not doing much. And so he managed to get more power in that party. And then he ran for chancellor, and his party, that party is by far the most that gets the most votes in Austria. And after that, it's the Social Democrats. And then the Freedom Party is third. And now stuck in third place.
I was thinking, because he's done so well in this EU election, when they have these general election in September, I wouldn't be surprised if his party, the OVP, gets voted again, and also if the Freedom Party get voted in again, and then they'll just form another coalition. I mean, that's what I would be hoping.
Well,
the
Freedom Party is going to hope to do well. This is not a general election; it's a special election.
Snap election, yeah.
That's been called a snap election. That's not going to be other, and that's going to be in September. So this is just for Austria. I don't think, now you could be right, anything's possible in politics, but I agree with you that People's Party, Kurz's party, will win the majority or the plurality. I don't think, see, the thing is, he's going to try to get a majority where he can then rule, form a government on his own with his own party, and won't need a coalition partner. That's the problems that they always have, but very hard because of the system they have in Europe to get that kind of a majority, to get a majority, I mean. So that's what he'll try to do. This is going to be a hard-fought campaign in the next 3 months, and it's going to be – and the Freedom Party is already showing that they're going to fight as hard as they can, and they're going to go against – Kurz, because that's who their opponent is, so they have to. So that's going to bring so much bad feeling, and Kurz is going to have to fight off them and defend what his moves that he's made to take them out of the government. So there's a lot of bad feeling already over what took place yesterday in the vote for no confidence vote. And I just don't think that he will be willing to join, to bring the Freedom Party in at all. So this is why I'm a little depressed about how this has come out, because while the Freedom Party is certainly not going to go away and they're going to keep fighting and they've got their base and all, it doesn't look all that rosy for them. And just before I forget, you know, while we're still on the European Parliament election, here's the results. You know, the People's Party is has won 7 seats into the European Parliament, because, you know, Austria is a small country. So the People's Kurz's party has got won seven seats. That's an increase of 2 over 5 years ago. And the Freedom Party and the Social Democrats have 5. And that's the same as what they had, I think, 5 years ago. And the Freedom Party lost 1. They had 4. Now they only have 3. So that doesn't look very good either. That's in the European Parliament, which doesn't rule over Austria at all. You know, it's different. But still, I thought they'd stay the same because they only went down 2 points, as you mentioned. But no, they lost a seat. So now what we're looking to is this September election. And I think that what Kurz can do, if he increases, and he may be able to, that's what he'll be trying to do, to substantially increase from 30-some percent of the vote to maybe 40%, or over 40%, then he can get, there's this party called the Neos. Well, it's very small, but I think it gained slightly, maybe, there's some smaller parties. He might be able to form a majority with that, with those, without going either to the SPD, who are going to fight hard in this upcoming campaign too, and or the FPO, and he'll be able to form a government where he'll really be in control, and these other little parties will kind of go along. But you know, this Neos party is new, but it's come up quite a bit, still small, but you know, I read about it. It stands for, they want a United States of Europe. Now, how that doesn't fit with what Kurz says, that he wants this Europe of nations and freedom. Kurz really is in agreement with the Freedom Party, but then you have to get into why this happened from this video and his reaction to it. And now Kickl, who is sort of the new big voice, he's going to say more than anybody else. He's a fighter. They're going to put him out there to fight, and he's going to do it. And he was the interior minister. He is saying that Kurz, he wanted to get rid of the Freedom Party's control, or whatever you'd call it, in the interior ministry. He wanted to take over the interior ministry himself, because that's where the problem was with his party and all the other parties, that with the immigration. See, they don't want to stop immigration. Now Kurz says he wants to limit immigration. That's not the same as ending immigration and have a moratorium practically on immigration, which is what they need, which is the Orban position and the Salvini position, you know. And so that's where the real crux of the matter is. It's right there in immigration. And we know that the mainstream parties want immigration. I don't care. They refuse. That's globalists. They're under the globalists, and they don't want to stop the migration that's going on. And that's what's so dangerous and so damaging. And both the Freedom Party in Austria and the Alternative Party in Germany are the ones who stand against that with any kind of following at all. So it's a battle. And the other parties did very well, but they didn't come out, they didn't sweep everything. They didn't make the big change. Like in the European Parliament, which has 750 seats altogether, 751, the Europe of Freedom and Direct Democracy, no, that's wrong. That's the other one. That's kind of similar. But you have the Europe of Nations and Freedom, which is Salvini's, what Salvini has put together. They only got 59 seats. And then this Europe of Freedom and Direct Democracy, which is similar, but not exactly, has 58 seats. So together, they have about 118 seats. Oh, that's not enough to do a lot. It's good, you know, better than it was, but it's not enough to really swing anything. So, the media makes a big deal about it. I think they do that in order to get the moderates to come out and vote, and the youth who are very leftist to come out and vote. They're saying, oh, the populists are going to win all this. They're going to and scare them. And I think it worked because the vote was up in this election.
I think this video scandal played a part as well, because I think if it hadn't been for that, we might well have seen similar things happening like they did in Italy, because you had the coalition there, Salvini and the Five Star Movement. And because of Salvini's policies, I mean, he shot ahead of the Five Star Movement in the polls. And I would have expected the Freedom Party to do the same in Austria. But then they hit them with this video. And I think they deliberately waited till this election to do it. Because they knew once they were in the coalition, there was nothing they could do about it. And they held on to that video until just before the EU election and then hit them with it then.
Yeah, well, I read that that they were shopping this video around. And I don't think it's Russian either. I think it's
Israeli, I think the Freedom Party, a spokesman for them, said it was an Israeli journalist. That's what I read. And he said it was an Israeli journalist that made that video.
Well, I didn't see that. There was a journalist involved. I don't know. It might have been Israeli. There was three people that they've mentioned. I don't know. I've got that somewhere, but I don't know where. So, but they were they sold it. You know, the people who made it, they weren't giving it away for free. And they were offering it to various news outlets, and nobody picked him up on it until then. I don't know when, because they don't say when Der Spiegel and this South German newspaper paid for it, bought it. They both did. I don't know if they were in cahoots with that. They said, okay, well, they knew one another was buying it. That's probably the way it worked. And then who knows when they did and who that they made the decision. They're saying they didn't hold on to it, but none of that is proven at all. So what they decided to come out with it now. It would have been they didn't want to hold it anymore. And they because if it got too old, it wouldn't be as effective. And this election was coming up. So they did it. And I think true. I agree. It has taken a toll, and it gave Kurz, it kind of forced him, but it also gave him the opportunity, and you just don't know where his thinking is because he's a politician.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Thank you for looking into all that, and obviously, you know, we'll hear more on that in the future. Thanks for coming on, Carolyn. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless, and hail victory.